Flint, Michigan. How did a simple flip of a switch lead to a long-term public health crisis that tested the resilience of its residents? In this Science of Crime podcast series, we examine the chain of events that led to years of damage, distrust, and dirty water. My name is Katie Paul, and this is episode number 16, The Current State of Affairs in Flint. In thinking about this subject, the first question which came to mind was, how is the water in Flint right now? Apparently, there's no clear answer. According to a PBS article, officials are hesitant to announce the current state of the water. In June, the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Andrew Wheeler declared that Flint's water was safe to drink. Soon after, an EPA spokesperson said that the drinking water currently meets all health-based standards. Despite this, Flint's mayor, Karen Weaver, has dismissed the declarations as premature. Officials are springing at the chance to announce any possibility of the clarity of the water. They're creating an almost boy cried wolf situation. When the time comes when the water is truly all clear, there will be a struggle in convincing residents. Epidemiologists and microbiologists have said that without access, accountability, and peer-reviewed science, it will be difficult to prove Flint residents their water is safe. So what does this all really mean? Is the water drinkable? How's the town really doing? In an attempt to understand a bit about what it was like to live through such a scare, I decided to interview Ronnie Mall, a resident in the town of Victor, New York. Sometime in the late 1970s to early 1980s time period, an unknown quantity of volatile organic solvents was introduced into the groundwater. Investigations over the next 17 years identified high amounts of contamination. Water was infected by trichloroethylene, also known as TCE. This toxin is extremely harmful, and in addition to water, can also infiltrate the air in the form of vapors, which puts people at risk who live in the area. Though Ronnie is lucky to live in a house which uses city water rather than well water, she has experienced the impacts of the contamination, including the deaths of many.
As time went on, I can remember one of the things my mother said to me that always stuck with me, and she said, "All my friends are dying," and nobody knew why.
Like Victor, Flint residents face health challenges from the contamination. Some experience increased risk of high blood pressure and kidney damage. Children fall especially vulnerable to the poisoning. It affects their nervous system and brain development. They could face learning and behavior difficulties over the next 10 to 20 years, and the uncertainty of what is to come is scary and devastating for their parents. One Flint resident shares his fear for his children and the town.
I don't want to ingest the water. I don't want my kids to ingest the water. I don't want anyone in Flint to ingest the water.
I asked Ronnie if there was a group from the Modoc Springs contamination who was most affected by it.
I think that the stay-at-home mothers that got sick. Be home all day drinking that water. They'd probably be in the basement. They were showering in that water. And the men got away from it.
Dissimilarly, the Flint contamination impacted all types of residents connected to the water source. But the children are the ones people are worried about. The physical health effects are scary, but just as important is the mental health struggles they face. That kind of disaster is scarring. It can have a great impact on a mental state. The citizens are experiencing extreme parental worry over the long-term effects on their child's health and behavior. Not knowing the impact is something that can keep families up at night and wishing that there had been a different outcome. People are sad because their families are less likely to visit, or their friends have gotten sick, or worse, have died. Lauren Tompkins is the chief clinical officer at the Lead Agency in Flint that's working to address mental health needs there. She says that there are escalating rates of distress, both among people with long-standing mental health issues and those who were healthy before the crisis. Another fear is the fact that there is no end in sight, like how we feel with COVID-19 pandemic right now. The good thing is that these mental health concerns are being taken seriously, and there has been an influx of resources since the crisis to assist those struggling. The government was a main catalyst of the Flint disaster, but Michigan is now taking an attempt at an aggressive approach to make sure nothing like it ever happens again. Starting in July, Michigan altered safe water laws and testing within the state. The state now has the toughest standards in the country when it comes to testing the safety of the water. They hope the better quality testing will reveal higher lead levels in some communities so they can remain on top of the problem. Are they on top of the problem? Many aren't convinced. The mayor says she will not be convinced that the city's water is safe until all the pipes are replaced and the medical and scientific communities reach the consensus after a period of testing over time. She's not willing to take any chances when it comes to the water. She says, "We're the ones who will have to live with the consequences of any more mistake. We'll not be pushed or rushed into drinking the water." Her hesitancy serves the community well, because just last fall, an infectious disease doctor said that the right studies have not been done. A main problem that caused the lead contamination was the lack of chlorine in the water. The city says it is now maintaining sufficient levels of residual chlorine. However, those responsible for Flint's water have yet to implement any new testing standards or policies governing Legionella, a bacteria that has made many sick. Currently, there are people going around that are saying it is normal to have bacteria in the water and the filters are a solution to this. While officials reported after the disaster that 90 were sickened and 12 died from exposure to bacteria, officials are now finding the death toll was probably much higher. 199 pneumonia deaths during that time were probably caused by Legionella bacteria. This isn't clear enough evidence that Legionella shouldn't be in the water. I don't know what is. 188 randomly selected houses were tested, and Legionella was found in 12% of them. Even the filters have been tested, and they've shown bacteria too, so that won't fix the problem like some think. Not only are they not the answer, but officials emphasize filters as the only barrier between safe and unsafe water, which pushes all maintenance and treatment onto residents, rather than solving the town problem as a whole. Bronnie says residents in Victor were expected to take responsibility too.
I think they just left it up to the individual homeowner to test their own water. People didn't do that.
The harsh testing laws have only shown that the town of Flint has a long way to go. Part of the problem has been addressed, but there's a lot more to be done and more information to be shared. Flint cannot and will not be declared as clear until the extensive testing proves good results. One impact we see on the physical town is on property value. One site says that people who live in Flint have to live there. In other words, there is no one who's hoping to live in Flint. If the residents are still afraid to drink the water there, people are not willing to move in because they would rather not take the risk of having to deal with that same problem. In Victor, Ronnie doesn't think this is relevant anymore.
I wouldn't think the residents would fear drinking the water now because nobody is on a well anymore. If I was still on a well, I would not drink that water or shower in it.
Though she once experienced the impact on property value,
my house did not sell for 2 years.
Her son and daughter-in-law recently purchased a house in Victor.
She got on the phone with the DEC. She had them over every day for a month inspecting the house and doing new reports.
Well, Chris and Jenny were able to purchase the house while feeling safe with full information on the house. So far, not enough time has passed for residents to feel safe moving to Flint. A $600 million settlement has been discussed as a solution to the problem. Very recently, within the past week actually, an article which discussed the settlement was published by USA Today. The article outlined that it is still not publicly known how much would be distributed to Flint residents and how much will go to paying attorney fees and costs. According to a proposed notice, attorneys will get no more than a third of the cost. Apparently, the deal puts the needs of Flint's children first. A summary of a settlement shows that nearly 80% of the money would go to resolve claims filed on behalf of minors and children. This is a step forward in the healing process for Flint, but unfortunately, most of the problems caused by the crisis are not ones which can be solved with money. Many sources may say that the water is near clear. Whether or not this is true, the real impact can be seen through the people, not just the physical town. The city's pipes may be contaminated for years to come. While the contaminated state of water is temporary, as we see through the town of Victor, the impact on Flint's people will last forever.